the show that puts the improv in home improvement. It's Frank Fontana on 720 WGN.
Hey, that's me. Thanks for tuning in, folks. It's been a fun show so far. And it's about to get even more fun, or my kids would say funner. Joining me for our new segment to the Frank Fontana Show, Ask the Architect. That's right, where you guys get a chance to speak to a real-life, top-notch professional architect about any of your home questions. So you might want to start dialing in now if you want to speak to our guest, Ron Berry Jr., who's sitting next to me. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Frank. How are you?
I'm fantastic, buddy. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And just give you a little history. Ron has been in this business a long time. Ron, why don't you tell the folks listening a little bit about yourself?
Well, plus minus in the business for over 30 years, I call it by immersion. My father had me basically measuring jobs with him at the age of 7 or 8.
Isn't there child labor laws for that that keep you from doing
it? Not back then.
Not back then, right, exactly.
There is now. Not at my office. My kids are with me on the weekends.
Ours are mine, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I've been doing this for a very long time. Built my own single family home when I was 21. Designed and built our first residence when I was 20.
And you've always been an entrepreneur, though, knowing you for quite some time now. You've had your hands in business on a multitude of levels from a very young age.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Opened a family entertainment center when I was 18 near Midway Airport and was juggling school and that at the same time. Went to Triton College for construction management through it all and then ultimately received my degree in architecture from UIC.
Wow. That's a lot of it. And Ron, let me just tell you, it's like an encyclopedia of all things construction. A lot of times I don't know what I'd do without Ron sitting next to me. Ron and I work together on a multitude of projects. Right now we're currently designing, building, constructing a couple restaurants.
Yes, sir.
That will have some really exciting news to dump on those. One is going to be in Wrigleyville. Okay. Another just up the road in Andersonville.
Correct.
Yeah, they're going to be showstoppers, folks. Let me tell you, Ron's designed a lot of the restaurants you've all probably eaten at throughout Chicagoland, right?
Thank you. Handful, yes.
Yeah, and as well as done major construction buildings, residential, and is also one of our is the construction partner here for our television show.
Why, thank you.
Just fantastic. We've been working together on this for quite some time now, ramping up. You know, the TV show that we're doing is full blown, real deal renovation, folks. I mean, we are taking on big stuff, and we're excited to do it. It's what we do on a daily basis, and this just added element of TV cameras following around. How you feel about that, Ron? This is all new. Like we've done stuff, but this is now like you're entering my world.
Yes, I am. Completely submerged, and I love it.
Yeah, the pace is crazy. I mean, the responsibility levels triples. I mean, it's like doing what we do times, you know, a gazillion with a million eyes watching.
Yep. Everything is, I need this in 10 minutes.
Yeah. Or yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, as an architect, you know, just being around you and, you know, many times having many meetings with clients, there's always a gazillion questions out there, you know, and mm-hmm. It consumes half of a meeting is like asking Ron questions about architecture. Why does this beam do this? Is this structural? Can I build off this? Can I, you know, for you, I mean, your mind must work a little different.
It does.
You know, and explain to me the mindset of what it takes to be an architect.
Foresight. You have to have the ability to balance what the client is describing to you and at the same time the vision to know what the local municipality would expect, what is feasible in terms of economics.
Yeah.
And it's basically a balance.
And do you find often there's a disconnect between the feasibility and economics when it comes to dealing with, you know, whether it be, you know, a commercial client or a residential client?
At times, yes. More so on the commercial side. Residential tends to be simpler and more achievable in terms of what they would like to accomplish.
Yeah.
So I would say more so on the commercial side.
Yeah. And what aspects of architecture were you drawn to most? Like, is it the creative drawing and visual side, or do you like the, you know, like, were you a Lego builder? You know what I mean? Is this kind of like something that you were born with?
I was. I had the play school drawing kit on the way to Florida in approximately 1984. I've just dated myself, but nonetheless.
Right.
Yes. So absolutely was, and I'm definitely more the problem solver type. I like figuring out the floor plan and solving someone's design goals. That's what gets me juiced most.
And walk us through, you know, a project, right? So anybody out there is listening who's about to take on a major construction project, doesn't know anything about it, or wants to learn more about it. There is phases. There's steps to. There's a method to our madness.
Oh yes.
And it'd be great to talk about that. And folks, if you have questions for our architect in our Ask the Architect segment, call us now 312-981-7200. We'll put you on with a free consultation with Ron Vary Jr. You can ask anything construction. Ron is also a licensed general contractor here in the state of Illinois, as well as, you know, build, create, design. We're doing it all. So Ron, walk us through phases here. So I'm a client and I want to add an extension to my house. What is the first thing I should be asking the architect?
It all boils down to the initial consultation. We would sit down and go over your thoughts along with your wife, your wonderful wife, Sherry, by the way.
Why, thank you.
Yes. We would sit down and really look at the likes and dislikes about the existing scenario and how do we change them? What are our goals going forward? And after looking at that list, I would take a survey from you and go back to the office, put that survey into the computer, and then...
When you say a survey, technically speaking, that's a plot of survey?
Plot of survey showing the limits, the boundaries of your property in relationship to the home, where it sits in relationship to the front lot line, the side lot line, etc. And after a trip to the local zoning site, we would compare notes and say, okay, we can put 10 feet onto the side yard. And then it becomes a push, a back and forth between homeowner and ourselves at that point, balancing their goals and then ultimately presenting that design in the next week or so and pushing it back and forth until it's complete.
That's still all in phase one, correct?
All in phase one. We're still on paper at this point or in the computer looking at colored renderings and massaging it back and forth until it works.
And what you're describing, Ron, obviously is your hour business practice as well as what should be expected as an industry standard. So if you're not getting this from your architect, GC, design team, you should be asking questions. You know, you should definitely be like, okay, well, you know, where are we at with this whole, you know, phase of it?
Thank you.
So that's phase one. Phase two, where does it go to next?
Well, we go into permit production mode at the office. Once the client is happy, we finalize that design drawing, and it becomes a permit drawing. That usually takes a couple of weeks. By the time the permit production is ended, we submit to the municipality and await their corrections.
Okay, let's pause there because therein lies the conundrum between I want to get something done by X date and why isn't it happening? Right?
Common question.
Common question. And then there could be a lot of factors as to why, but let's talk about one of the biggest factors.
Sure. I mean, we're in one of the largest cities in America. We have an enormous amount of construction going on. City Hall is busy. They're great people, but there are only so many of them at that building, and things take time. If you're designing something that's going to stand, God willingly, for 100 years, you really don't want to rush the process. At the end of the day, a couple of weeks, a couple of months really doesn't matter. You have to do it right.
Yeah. And that's true. So, I mean, if you're getting on your GC, your architect, and it's in, you know, permit phase, it's really hard to push that along, even if you have expediters and all that, you know. So,
yes.
And that's another part, folks. If you do have a question regarding permits, zoning, and all that stuff, Ron is an expert in that world as well. 312-981-7200 is our phone number here. You can text your question in, or you can always call in. We'd love to talk to you. And we're talking with Ron Vary Jr. from Ron Vary Architects and Construction as well.
Our Vary and Associates.
Our Vary and Associates. You have a website too, right?
We do.
Why don't we throw that out so people can take a look?
Thank you. It's simply www.ourvaryandassociates.com.
Okay. And we have a lot more questions for Ron. We're going to continue the conversation of the phases of a project that you all, if you're in this world right now and you're about to take on a renovation, you want to be armed with the right questions to ask your contractor, to ask your architect. And we're going to do that today for the rest of the show as we're going to walk you through every single thing and hold your hand as to how you best approach a situation or a renovation that you're about to spend your hard-earned money on. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. We'll have more when we come back.
Testing, uno, dos, tres, catorce.
He's the go-to guru for great design ideas.
Not that there's anything wrong with us.
He's edgy. He's in your face.
The Frank Fontana Show. It's not just home improvement, it's life improvement.
At least we try to improve your life one radio show at a time. Hey, we're doing the Ask the Architect segment. A couple people texting in. One person from the 630 says, Ron, typically how long should I be waiting for a permit for an extension?
It depends on the municipality. I would start by calling the local village hall. Generally speaking, the rule of thumb in spring is approximately 8 weeks.
8 weeks?
Yes.
Now, that could set people back a little bit if you have a tight timeline. Is there anything that could be done to expedite it once the permit's in the actual hands of the city?
In Chicago, yes. There's something called an expedited zoning meeting. You can basically save yourself several weeks by paying a fee and then basically getting to that desk within a few days.
Sure.
But I do not think that exists in the suburbs as of now.
Chicago translation called greasing the wheels, pretty much. All right, Ron, so let's continue. We ended phase two being the permitting and zoning phase. Once that's all submitted and approved, what happens in phase three of the construction architectural design plan?
Pre-construction, basically. You're taking the permitted drawings, making sure that there are no changes from the homeowner, and basically doing a pre-construction meeting. In our office, we call it, as you know, Monday morning walkthroughs.
Mm-hmm.
We basically walk through with the client and all of the trades involved every Monday morning throughout the entire
phase
project.
Two, let's backtrack. Phase two is also a phase where the trades go in and do their bidding.
Yes.
And get your final numbers in.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So once we have all those numbers, we move to phase three and then have those consultations with the homeowner.
That is correct.
Okay.
Preparing for construction to begin.
So, and is that all that phase three consists of at that point? Are we beginning sourcing, and once the agreed upon elements of the design come together, it becomes kind of go time, right?
Absolutely, yes.
And then phase four is what?
Start construction. Yes.
And as we all know in the construction business, that's usually a good thing, right?
Usually. Generally speaking.
Now, how often, because you hear this all the time, you know, a homeowner or a client has great expectations. And then the minute you start peeling back walls, especially in older homes, things happen. You find things. And then you may have to stop. And then, if, for instance, one of the most common things with older homes is electrical, right?
Correct.
The old fabric-wrapped electrical that for some reason at some point in our existence, somebody thought it was a good idea to wrap something that could burn around something conducting heat and electricity. Why would they do that back then? Was there a reason for it?
I would probably say lack of technology at the time.
Yeah, so they're like, hey, let's just wrap this rope around this wire. Sounds like a good idea. And it stuck for a little while.
Indeed.
But say you come across a situation like that, you know, how much could that add to the time of construction if this you have to stop down and the city has to come out and inspect wires and stuff like that? Like, how does that process happen?
Yes. I mean, it depends on the level of the renovation. If it's minor, they will grandfather you in and it can stay. If the renovation is extensive, you will find yourself basically rewiring the entire home. Probably a great idea anyway.
But if you have the budget, right?
If you have the budget. If it's one bathroom, you'd probably be grandfathered in. If it's an entire two floors that we're talking about, you're definitely in for a rewire.
And is that based on if it's coming from that one source that you exposed up to that second source that you're about to renovate? Is that the direct correlation? Or it could mean at that point, anywhere where that wire is in the home has to be replaced?
It depends on the renovation itself and the age of the home. If it is from, for instance, the late 1800s, early 1900s, you are more than likely going to have to rewire the entire house.
Got it.
Yes.
Yeah, which we don't want to do.
No.
Right. And then it's, you know, happy homeowner time after that. Phase five is we get the heck out of there. Your crews are gone. And the homeowner moves in and loves everything. Now, let's talk about the ultimate punch list. Because this is something that could linger for many, many people. And there's two sides to it, from the homeowner side and then the construction side of things. What's the process for punch listing?
Yes. Forecasting it as quickly as possible and staying on top of it weekly. Going back to the Monday morning walkthroughs, keeping the trades involved in that conversation from A to Z works wonders. That really does need to happen, because it keeps the lines of communication open and it avoids assumptions or people forgetting what they feel are small items. But to the homeowner, and rightfully so, that's the most important thing on their mind that day.
And what's a reasonable amount of punch list items on both sides? Like, what do you expect as the contractor, you know, to get back after a job's done? I mean, obviously, we all walk through it.
Sure.
And visually inspect is, you know, the best of our ability. But as somebody lives there, you always see something and or, you know, find something.
Yes.
Like, what's a normal expected punch list from a homeowner?
Depending on the size of the renovation, I would say between 10 and 20 somewhere.
Items, yeah. Which are considered normal?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Got it. We've got some questions coming in via text from 630. How do I know when to use an I-beam if I remove a wall?
Depending on the number of stories and the load that's being carried by such beam, you'd have to basically consult either an architect or an engineer to come out and possibly probe, depending on the age of the home, probe into the ceiling to see if the existing joist system is clear span or if it is in two segments.
Got it. And then I think before you even get to that point, you probably want to have somebody come out. Don't get into tearing walls down.
Oh, no.
Like, I know it could be, you know, very enticing at times, but
yes,
I think it's always important to call an architect first.
Measure twice and cut once.
That's right. I like to cut a lot of times, but that's on my own house. All right, cool, man. This is good stuff. I like it. It's our first ever Ask the Architect segment, and we'll continue for sure throughout the season here, giving updates on our show, which, by the way, we are still casting for, and I promise we'd give out the information if you are looking to be one of the homeowners, one of the lucky remaining homeowners to be featured on our national television show here. It's going to be on a national cable network, which I can't divulge just yet. I can tell you the name of the show is called Downtown Shabby. We're making over older homes. If your home is 1950 and older, it's got a cool story to it. If you have a budget existing that you're about to start the renovation, hit pause for a second. Call us. You can email at propertyrehabcasting@gmail.com. That's propertyrehabcasting@gmail.com. You just put in some basic information. You can go to my website, frankfontana.net. Click on the button that says TV show, and you'll find out more information about the show, and you can actually submit directly from that link as well. We wish you the best. It's going to be a fantastic thing to do if you want to document this experience and renovation for the rest of your life. And we're excited about it, right, Ron?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Now, Ron, you mentioned earlier when we were talking about your rise to your business and before you got into architecture. Well, you're always into it because it's kind of been a family business for a long time.
Yes.
But an entrepreneur, you know, as an entrepreneur in this town or any town, you need a certain backbone. You need a certain belief system, I believe, to be successful.
Yes.
What were some of the things that kind of led you to where you are today?
Biggest thing is what my father taught me at a very young age. You can do whatever you put your mind to. Don't let anyone ever tell you otherwise.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in that. I mean, our motto in our house is never, ever, ever give up, no matter what.
Not in our vocabulary.
No matter how bleak it looks, no matter how tough it is, how big they are, how small they are, you never give up.
Absolutely.
And behind that mindset, you are a fellow believer in the law of attraction.
Oh, certainly.
Why?
In recent years, I've come to realize that you are what you think about. You are what you tell yourself on a daily basis. And that could be very good or very bad.
Right.
And you are in control of that answer.
Yeah. And most people we know walk around unconscious to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it reflects on who they are as a person.
Yes.
And I think it's a very valid thought process, you know, to be conscious of your thoughts because you become those.
Indeed. You create your own reality.
Yeah. It's good stuff, man. I like it. I like the well-rounded conversation because I like to, anybody I work with, for, you know, in depth with, you know, has to share the similar belief and the dream that, you know, nothing is impossible.
Nope.
Good stuff. Ron Very Jr. The company is Ron Very & Associates. The website one more time, Ron?
Sure. rveryandassociates.com. That's R, V as in Victor, A-R-I, and is spelled, and associates is plural.
And you can always email Ron for questions. Ron will be back, you know, pretty often on the show and the Ask the Architect segment. And if you missed your chance today, I know it's Mother's Day. A lot of people are busy. We did get some texts we did not get to, but we'll try to respond to those after the show. Coming up after this, the Beat. The guys from the Beat are here. We got Jared Payton's there and Matt, I believe, is here. I think, who else is here, Sean?
Adam and Jared Payton.
That's Adam and Jared
Adam
Payton.
Adam Hogue, Jared Payton.
Got it. And where's my guy? Our Mark Carm is not here today.
I didn't see Carm.
Man, he's doing the right thing with his mother. That's probably why. Because we know he doesn't have a girlfriend yet.
Yeah,
oh, did I just say
dig.
That?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
That was a
we
nice
love you, Mark.
Dig, Frank.
I'm sorry. He gets me all the time. But all right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.